Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk. Because I'm happy.
It's what we're all looking for today as it rains and the kids head back to secondary school. Cathal O'Sullivan has joined me for Reasons to be Happy, where we take a look at some good news. Cathal, thank you.
Well, like you say, the rain, I think it's my first Reasons to be Happy of the summer where it's rained. I mean, Andrea constantly saying, oh, well, we look out the window here and everyone has to be happy because of the sun, but we need it now more than ever because of the rain.
Yeah, well, my dead garden is smiling. So there is that. There's always something can be done. First, we're going with this.
Who let the dogs out?
Do you have a dog, Claire?
Yes.
Okay, what's your dog's name?
Mo. He's new to the house.
Okay.
We have him 8 months. And yes, he's brought lots of joy.
Brought lots of joy and smiles to the house. Well, it's International Dog Day today. So it's one of those days that, like, these come around every day. It's like it's international this, that and the other day. But Dog Day is kind of one that puts a smile on, I think, everyone's face because they do bring joy into our lives. They're kind of, I know there's the man's best friend thing around them, but they're everyone's best friend. They're there to, I suppose, be a companion. People who live alone, they're listening here. Just go for a walk with them, clear the head and stuff like that. But it's not only that. Science actually proves that they're beneficial to our lives. Like, they're beneficial to have in your house. I suppose, like, you only have a dog 8 months now, but you've probably seen a lift in, like, your family life.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, it's another job on the list. And we sat the kids down and we were like, look, we all need to share this out. But we knew ultimately it would be down to me and my husband. And it has been. And there's low points, such as picking up poo and all that. But I am telling you now, the joy that he has brought. He's a connector because I've got teens and tweens now.
Great.
Brings us all together. And to have somebody that wags their tail and is so happy to see you when you've just gone out to the bathroom and come back into the kitchen. I mean, that's joy in itself. So yeah, no, they are. They're amazing, amazing creatures. They force you to be present. They force you to get outside and they just would put you in good form. So that's a great one.
Yeah, well, like just going off some of the research I looked into today, the science-backed benefits, dogs can make us feel less lonely, which often people are nowadays, after I suppose the pandemic and stuff like that, a lot of people living alone. They're good for your heart. Research has linked dog ownership with lower blood pressure. So there's benefits, Claire, for all of us. I need a dog maybe to lower mine. They reduce stress, help us through difficult times, and they encourage us to exercise as well, which is absolutely beneficial. It helps people get out for a walk and, like you say, connects young people and older people and parents and different things like that. Helps them to, like, even if it's your grandparents' dog, go down. Like, I never had a dog, but we used to always go see my granny's dog and bring them for a walk. And that, like, I suppose it benefited us, but it also got the dog out of her house.
Well, Cathal, feel free to come and clean up after Mo
absolutely.
And take him for a walk anytime you like.
Speaking of exercise, Claire, this is a story I heard in the news this morning coming into work, and it just made me laugh. Did you know that running could be as good as a nap for sleep deprivation?
Like, oh, it's the last thing you want to do when you just can feel your eyes going on the couch. But what I was interested in reading through your notes is that it keeps you sharper, not just your energy levels, but sharper, particularly for those who are working shift work.
Yeah, this is the really interesting part for me because sometimes I work on breakfast radio, so I'm in early, and sometimes I do a really early shift where I could be at my desk at 5:15, and then I come home and I'm like, I don't want to go out exercising. I don't want to do anything. And I will admit, Monday morning or Monday afternoon, I came home and I did nap, and I napped probably longer than I should have. And then I was like, geez, I need to get out and do a bit of exercise. I need to go for a walk or a run or something, because I think it lifts the mood as well. But also, this research came out from McGill University in Canada, and they did the research with 54 adults over 30 hours. So they were awake for 30 hours. And then one group got to have a nap afterwards. One group got to have a 20-minute exercise. And then there was a control group. And the group that actually went for the exercise after, they found that they could recall, like, their memory better. They were a little bit sharper when it came to things that they had done 3 days previous, which is very interesting to me because I'm like, when I nap, I think, oh, great, I'm refreshed. Whereas if you were coming home from a 12-hour shift as a doctor or a nurse or a prison officer, you don't want to go out exercising. But 20 minutes could be beneficial to you. I suppose prolonging your, I suppose, your mind and making it more active. So this, it was just very interesting for me, especially for those people who struggle with the likes of insomnia as well. Like going out and maybe doing a bit of exercise to engage the mind to go back and then relax. It's just one of those things that you have to, like, I suppose, step back and be like, okay, maybe I'm not going home and napping. Maybe I'm going to go for a 20-minute walk and then you might sleep better that night.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've worked the breakfast shift many times and napped many times. You actually feel nearly worse, don't you? You feel groggy. You don't know what you want. Whereas maybe just to get out for a short burst of exercise, I wouldn't be putting any pressure on yourself to make sure you're hitting 20 minutes of running. But that is good news. I've signed up to a 12K in Ibiza next April. I haven't run one step, but I'm obsessed with doing things I think I can't. So I'm going to be keeping this in the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, well, for those out there who are on late shifts and stuff, it says exercise, and exercise can be anything. Like, exercise can be going for a 20-minute walk, or it can be doing a YouTube class for 15 minutes online. Like, you don't have to be going out and making personal bests. It's just about kind of, I suppose, making that mind a little bit active and keeping the body moving.
Right, well, keep us posted how you get on.
This is my story of the week, Electric Picnic. I am a Laois boy. I have grown up with Electric Picnic. I think it's either my 9th or my 10th year going in a row, barring COVID. But it's like Christmas for people from Laois. It's just like, we are all like, we love the chaos, everyone coming down to see our beautiful county, and getting to see all these musical acts with it is just incredible.
And do you go home to bed and shower and a mammy dinner?
Yes.
Yes.
Shout out Jacinta. She's probably listening at the moment. But yeah, mom does look after us very well. It's like the one weekend of the year where our house becomes a little bit of a B&B. It's like, oh, this friend from college and this friend from work is coming in for a shower. But she is absolutely great. But everyone's like, oh, you don't camp. You're not a real festival goer. I did altogether now. I did my camping. This is my luxury weekend where I don't have to spend the money on the glamping, but I get to sleep in my own bed and just relax and enjoy the showers. But Electric Picnic, it's become a festival with 80,000 people, which is insane. Like, altogether now, it was only 35, and that felt lovely. 80,000, insane. But it's the biggest festival in Ireland. We really need to, like, keep a hold of this. And it's only getting bigger and getting better. One of the things that the press day was yesterday, and they've announced they have new toilets for, they're called Pequels. So people, like, for women sitting down going to the toilet. But I just think this is great because the queues for women's toilets or cubicles are crazy. Like, people are queuing for ages and ages, missing acts. Whereas these little, they're kind of like, I don't know if you've seen them.
I looked online. This is possibly one of the most discussed thing between the team that is made of women. We were like, what do you think of the female urinals? I mean, there is a brilliant book called Invisible Bodies, which talks about the world being designed more for men than women. Okay, and it's been suggested that we always have equal numbers of men's toilets and women's toilets, whether that's port-a-loos or in buildings. And we should have double the amount of women's because it takes us longer to get the clothes down, sit
down. And
the
jumpsuits and the rompers.
Whatever's going on to chat to your friend in the cubicle with you, whatever could be going on in there. So this is quicker because this is a sort of get in, squat, do what you need to do and get out. But you're not covered completely. You're only covered sort of from the neck down.
So you're sitting, for the listener out there, I'll paint a picture. It's like a three-pod thing where three women can go in and sit down and you're almost facing one another, but nobody can see below your kind of torso. So you're squatting and sitting and it's a pod. But
I don't know. I can't get my head around it.
I think the men listening out there will understand this more than the women, because the urinal section of a festival, it's very much four pods facing each other. So it's not like in a bar or a restaurant where they're along a wall. It's four people kind of facing one another. And this is so unique to me, but sometimes you have the chats.
I've heard this from plenty of people. It's not just you. There's an opportunity for banter here.
Yeah, it's wasn't he great? Or like, you'll leave.
How are you getting on?
How are you getting on? Are you having a good weekend? And you're kind of there just going to the toilet, but you're also like, wasn't his Cavalli great? Or he was hilarious? Or Jesus, where are you camping? So I think you're going to get, or the women going to Electric People or Picnic are going to enjoy this kind of camaraderie, maybe. Oh, and I know men out there will know, sure, women take ages going to the toilet because they all go together at once. Like, the three of them have to go into the cubicle and have chats about what's going on. So they have that anyway. But I don't know, it's a unique experience and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think let's embrace it. Anything that speeds up the process can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. And of course, the likes of Fontaines and CMAP. But I'm looking forward to seeing the
female urinals.
The female urinals in action. I won't be going in, but I'll be hearing all about it. Were you watching the solar eclipse that happened there a couple of 2 weeks ago, was it?
I was, and I managed to get some glasses from a friend of mine who ordered a load on Amazon. So that worked out for us. I did still convince myself that I damaged my retina by glancing once, but I seem to have come out the other side.
Okay, unscathed. Well, for those kind of, I suppose, astronomers are wanting to be, a blood moon lunar eclipse is going to light up Dublin skies this week as the moon turns red, which is one of those things that I've seen before on pictures, and it's like, it's just incredible to look at. But in the early hours of Friday, so Thursday night into Friday morning, and we're going to have a lunar eclipse, which is known as a penumbra, but it's when the moon moves in front of the earth and there's like a little shadow, but it's like the sun lighting it up from behind. And it's just like, I'm not mad like wanting to be an astronomer, but it's one of those things. It's almost like seeing the world in its natural action. Like, and the like solar eclipse was incredible to watch as well. I had only a colander now, but it was still really cool to see. So the most dramatic phase begins around 3:30 on Friday morning, which some EP goers might be still awake. If they're going in early on Thursday, they might get a glimpse of it. But it peaks, it makes its peak at approximately 5:15. And it happens just like when the moon moves in front of the sun. And I think it's one of those things, I don't know much very about it. And I'm sure we'll hear the likes of astronomers across the week telling us all about it. But it's one of those things where everyone comes together to watch it. And I think that's the nicest thing about it. Like, you saw people queuing on Georgia Street for the solar eclipse. That was incredible. It was like everyone coming together. It's like, in my head, it's like appointment television. Everyone is doing the same thing at one point, and that's just like a group thing.
Yeah, maybe you'll be watching from the window in Jacinta's with the hot chocolate and hot water bottle. She's ready for you.
Tucked up in my bed, don't you worry, Claire.
I am a big moon gazer, I have to say, and I'm not a big woo-woo person, but I think there is something about the full moon. I'm always looking to the skies. It's a bit cloudy at the moment. Hopefully we have clearer skies.
I think those in Dublin are going to see it better than those in the south of the country, but hopefully the Midlands isn't too far away where people can enjoy it, and especially me.
I was a guinea pig. Somebody you could test your theories on?
Yeah, and I was just a girl somebody picked out in a bar.
Yeah, you know, it's a big deal. Hell, I'm sure now you can even use it as a little twist in your story.
It's a good idea. Maybe we should bet on it.
What a film.
Yes.
It's so good. It's one of my top, do you know Letterboxd, where people pick their top four films for their whole life? It's like you can pick and it's kind of a trend at the moment, but How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days would be my rom-com of choice.
Okay.
It's just one of those films. It's feel good. It's also kind of heartbreaking at points and cringy, and you kind of have to love it for what it is. But yes, a sequel may be in the works, according to, I think it's People Magazine. Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey obviously starred in the original, and Kate Hudson is kind of in talks to produce the sequel. We obviously saw the likes of The Devil Wears Prada coming out last year with the sequel, and people were like, will it be as good? And I think you have to take sequels with a pinch of salt. Like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days obviously was of its time, and she was writing a column about how she was going to meet a guy and then get rid of him in 10 days, and he was making a bet of how to meet a girl within 10 days and make her fall in love with him. And I won't spoil anything for anyone who hasn't seen it, but it kind of is what it says in the tin, and people are going to say, oh shit, that's so predictable, but it is a rom-com and it's feel good and it's what you want from it. But I think a sequel maybe could be nice after 23 years.
I love that movie, and what I'm loving now, my daughter's 12 and I've started to pass on rom-coms to her, and some she loves, and she loves this one. I don't know about sequels for sequels' sake.
Yeah.
I thought The Devil Wears Prada 2 was an absolute dud. There was no story to it.
Yeah.
Like they all looked amazing, so it was like advertisements for whoever's doing their work, but there was no story to it. Mamma Mia 2, that was another one. The first one was great. The second one was like, what is even happening here?
What's going on here? Yeah,
so
why is Cher here?
I don't know. And then I don't like films that make me feel old. So if they're going to be like the grandparents now and it's based on their grandkids, I can't bear that.
That would even make me feel old. But I hope if we get the yellow Caroline Herrera dress. That was so of its time. It was so stunning. The thought of that, I know you say the sequels, they're not always good, but maybe even the thought of the nostalgia of that film, I might go home and watch it and put a smile on my face.
Oh, I'll be in the cinema watching it, no doubt. Well, Cathal O'Sullivan, thank you so much.
No problem.
And have a great time at EP.
I will indeed.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.